Jeff, what do we know about the first holiday season for the tree, or at least the early years of its existence on top of the Rich's Crystal Bridge?
Even when it started, it was a big deal. And what they did is they set this tree up on top of the bridge. It was a massive tree, and they would light it. But what they would do is they would have a ceremony. So the original first time they had carolers staged on the bridge, and through subsequent years they would do this as well. And they would get the city to turn out all the street lights, and they would block Forsyth Street so that people could congregate down here around and underneath the bridge to watch the ceremony. So what they would do is they would start off with a boys or children's choir, I should say, on the bottom level, and they would light that bottom level and let the choir sing. And then once that choir finished their selection for the time, each subsequent level of the bridge would be lit and another choir would sing their particular song. They also would sometimes talk about the birth of Jesus or other Christmas stories. And at the finale, they would light the great tree at the end of the ceremony. In later years, they used O Holy Night and the high note in that, and the tree would burst into, not flames, but it would burst into light.
Hopefully not
flames. Although the tree did catch on fire one year. I didn't put that in the book.
Did it really?
It did. They put it out, but it caused quite a bit of damage to the actual tree.
Right. And the choosing of the tree that would sit atop Rich's Crystal Bridge became just as big a part of the tradition as the lighting of the tree itself.
They kept lists of backup trees in case trees broke in half, which they did on a few occasions. But they would go out to North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia looking for a specific one that fit the top and was the right width.
And for great spans of time, there would be maybe one person in charge of the choosing of the tree?
Yes, the employee you were referencing was Travis Guest. He did this job for well over two decades in getting the tree. There were people before him and obviously people after him, but he is noted as sort of being what Rich has called their tree scout and going out and scouting out these trees across these different states.
The lighting of the great tree was a holiday mainstay at this, what was then the flagship downtown Atlanta store, for well over four decades, but that was to change with the arrival of the 1990s.
It did. Obviously, you moved into a decade which I talk about in detail in the book, which is quite complicated, but Federated had entered into bankruptcy due to Robert Campeau taking over. Campeau came in 1988, a hostile takeover bid, took over the company. And what happened was not Rich's, but Federated itself had gone into bankruptcy. So in 1991, the store was closed in that summer. So what happened was they had to figure out another place to move the great tree. So they moved it over to Underground Atlanta, where it stayed for almost a decade, and then in 2000 it actually moved and worked its way up to Lenox Mall to the what's now considered, or at that time, sorry, it was considered Rich's flagship store. It's now Macy's.
It was the start of a new millennium that brought the tree to Buckhead and Lenox Mall. However, for many, the tree's biggest alterations came in 2003 and 2005.
Right. Obviously, what happened was is that Federated bought Macy's out of bankruptcy, and they already owned Rich's since 1976, so Federated decided in 2003 to merge the two stores. They'd been competing with each other since 1925. So for 2003, that following Christmas season, in 2004 and 2005, it ran as the Rich's Macy's Great Tree. And then, obviously, in March of 2005, Federated dropped Rich's from the Rich's Macy's nameplate, and the store became simply Macy's. So starting in 2005, for that Christmas season, it was then known as the Macy's Great Tree.
When we attend a tree lighting at Macy's, what is the lasting legacy of those folks back in 1948 that decided to spread a little holiday cheer from upon high in downtown Atlanta?
Macy's didn't intend to turn this celebration into a commercialized event. But I think the lasting impression is it's still an event that many people look forward to, and it happens on Thanksgiving Day. And for many in Atlanta, it's now for well over half a century been sort of the kickoff of the holiday season for the city and for this particular northern, southeastern part of the country.